Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Dahlin cuts down to the faceoff dot, holds it, scores! Rasmus Dahlin with a delicious finish.
Howard Simon.
I'm vanilla cream, I'm honey dipped, I'm sprinkled donuts, I'm whatever.
All I know is this is a good open, you saying, I'm vanilla cream, I'm sprinkles.
Sprinkles, that's my new nickname.
Jeremy White.
I'm one of your fans, you want to connect with me?
Brayton, did you catch that? I mean, I know my hearing is going. Did you hear what he said? Jeremy said he's one of my fans.
Careful, I'm also a Sabres fan. You hear how I talk about that?
Yeah, that's true, okay.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You should have cut off the last part. Should have just ended it when he said he was a fan of mine.
So you want the college football tease, or do you want the stat real quick that's a lot of fun?
Hey, man, I'm flexible. Whatever you want to do, I'm here for both.
Well,
let's do. Is the stat kind of a quick thing, and then the other is a little bit more of a discussion?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they might both be quick.
All right.
So do you remember a while back, Matthew Collar, our former morning show producer who now works in Minneapolis, PurpleInsider.com, does a podcast, covers the Vikings. He, of course, was a baseball guy, worked for the Muck Dogs,
yeah.
A lot of baseball stats. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one day he did a little bit of a Buddy Nix game for us where he asked us to spot the fake stat. Right? There are all these things like the Spider-Man quotient for outfielders. And he laid out five different stats, and one of them was fake, or one of them was – I don't remember. The point is, this setup is – do you remember that home run that was disrespectful a few weeks ago for Yermin Mercedes?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he got thrown out the next day. I think it was the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, a fun article at 538.com has developed the derision index for superfluous slams.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
I just want to make you repeat that again, actually. The game was a blowout. The Twins had like a position player in, and he was basically throwing slow pitch softballs. He threw just lofted a ball in the air like 2 miles an hour, and the guy cranked it out of the ballpark in like the eighth or ninth inning in a blowout, and everybody was upset. Tony La Russa's own manager called him out, and he got thrown out the next day. All right.
So the derision index for superfluous slams.
I got to tell you, I don't even know what the stat is, but I love the name of it.
That's the diss score,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, derision of superfluous slams. It's beautiful.
Right? So the diss score.
I love this stat.
Josh Hermsmeyer tweeted this out yesterday from 538.com. Major League Baseball home runs on 3-0 counts in the seventh inning or later.
Oh, my goodness.
In a game in which the hitter's team is up by at least six.
Wow.
So we have a handful of these.
3-0, up by six, seventh
3-0,
later.
Up
it.
By six.
Seventh inning or later.
Now, there are a couple check marks.
Mm-hmm.
Was it off of a position player?
Or a reliever, yeah.
Were you on the road? I guess is another one here. How much
really?
Of a diss
road
it is.
Or home, huh?
Yeah. You're on the road. You're,
huh.
If you're at home, come on. Fans
want
to see a home
runs.
Run.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Fans
right,
want to
right.
see a home run. If you're on the road, you're up 11, a 3-0 count. So anyway, all this adds up to a diss score. And got a list of, I mean, whoever, you say who keeps these stats? Baseball's pitch-by-pitch data that has been kept over the years, baseballreference.com. Pitch by pitch is incomplete before 1988. So the three pre-1988 instances came in the few games for which pitch counts were
records.
Recorded.
Okay, they don't have records on everything. Gotcha.
Not everything.
Right, right.
So, for instance, we've got a apparently 1954 Jim Greengrass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He hit a home run on the road up 11 on a 3-0 count for a disc score of 22.
Not to be confused with Jim Browndirt.
No.
Yeah.
Jim Greengrass.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in 1946, Goody Rosen.
Yes, Goody. I remember Goody. He was a hell of a player, Goody.
So, anyway, this is a long way to get to. The Yermin Mercedes home run had a disc score of 25. It was a ninth inning, 11-run lead off a position player on the road.
Yeah.
There's only been one other, but there was another, with a higher disc score.
So that is the second highest disc score since they started doing this stuff?
Well, since they started doing this was like yesterday.
No, but they have records to go back. Oh, I thought
they invented the formula.
Oh, I thought they went back and looked at a whole bunch of other stuff.
They did, but they invented the formula. The score can be whatever you want the score to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's 2000, Thomas Howard, apparently in the ninth inning, off a position player on the road, up 12 on a 3-0 count.
Yeah.
Is the highest ever derision index for superfluous slam score.
What did that get scored?
A 26, one over Yermin Mercedes.
It sounds like the same type of home run. Like, what was it a fastball instead of a float pitch? Actually, Mercedes would be worse because he hit a float pitch. I don't know what Thomas Howard hit.
It was also off a position player.
Yeah.
We know that.
In a blowout, on the road, in the ninth.
Up 12, 3-0.
Yeah.
And the point is, next time somebody says, well, I mean, you can't put a stat on that, be like, oh, yeah? You ever heard of the derision index of superfluous slams?
So somebody actually sat down and decided to come up with this idea.
Yep.
How can we see just how bad that home run was? Hey, well, let's come up with a stat. What do we call it? The derision index of superfluous slams.
Alex Kirshner did it for 538. Baseball's most disrespectful home runs.
Oh, man, oh, man.
I just think it's awesome that a lot of hitters broke this unwritten rule. You know, their scores, they've got them all. And the pitcher who they're all off of. So.
I wonder the next time the Twins and White Sox play today, throw at him again. It did once, and the guy got ejected. Actually, the guy got suspended, right? The Twins pitcher got suspended for
Wouldn't you have buried the hatchet by now? Isn't it gone?
I believe the unwritten rule is you throw at him one time. I don't think the unwritten rule includes at him the next time you see him.
If they break that unwritten rule, then they're going to get thrown at.
But now this would be, see, here's the interesting part. Now, actually, no, in the American League, there's a DH. And relievers typically don't. See, the nice thing about the unwritten rule is, in theory, the next time these two teams played, whatever pitcher threw at that guy, you would throw at that pitcher. But it doesn't work in the American League, DH.
Right.
And in the National League, like I said, it would have been a reliever anyway at that stage of the game. How often do relief pitchers even bat anymore in the National League?
Yeah, right.
So, but that would be something I could see. Like, that would be a Major League Baseball unwritten rule. We'll catch you in the next stand. You're going to throw at our guy for hitting the home run? Fine. We're going to throw at your guy for throwing at our guy. And it just goes on and on and on through the rest of the season.
So, all right, on to the other thing I
Charles Reister?
George Reister
III. George Reister III.
George Reister III.
I don't know who this is.
He, Fox Sports Radio, he's got a podcast as well.
Sorry, George.
Former NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote yesterday with a gif of a nuclear bomb going off. Like a mushroom cloud.
I'm already laughing it up.
We're on the verge of a story potentially to be broken in the next week or two that will rock the college football world, ruin legacies, and could impact the balance of power out west.
All right. Ruin legacies?
Ruin legacies.
And shift the balance
rock
of power out west.
Rock the college football world, ruin legacies, and impact the balance of power out west.
All right. First, there's nobody really that powerful out west. Oregon?
The funniest thing, I'm so glad you said that.
Who's powerful out west?
Because one of the first responses to this tease from George Reister, again, he's followed up and said it's not his story, it's a reporter he knows.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to scoop it, but I know what's going on, basically. But the funniest thing, though, Howard, you're so right. Someone wrote, I was all in until you said out west.
I'm thinking Alabama. I'm thinking, right? I'm Florida State. I'm thinking the power Ohio State.
The balance of power out west is USC and then who else?
It's not even, but even USC
Stanford,
isn't what it was. It's Oregon.
Oregon
has been the best team out west for what? 10 years now, going back to Chip Kelly, maybe even before him. There's no power. Look, the whole here's how bad it is out. This is crazy. Here's how bad West football is, and this is not an East Coast bias. It's so bad that this new format, you know, where they decided they might expand to 12 teams. One of the conferences that would be for it is the Pac-12. The Pac-12 never gets into the CFP. They're sitting there going, oh, they're going to take 12 teams, huh? That means we got a really good shot having a Pac-12 team in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
There's no power out football. The power out West is nobody.
Who's- Rock the college football world, ruin legacies. It's USC. I mean, you want to talk legacies.
Well, USC was great when I grew up in 70s and 80s. And I mean, they were good with Pete Carroll. But USC.
That's the thing. How many legacies? I know there are.
There aren't any.
But how many are there that would where this story that George Rice to the third has teased, Chip Kelly's legacy at Oregon?
That's what I'm trying to think. If you look, think about the, I'm assuming we're talking Pac-12, right? We're not getting into like BYU.
If it's out west, yeah, it's right? Got to be. It's,
I mean, what other programs outside the Pac-12 have any kind of legacy other than BYU?
Utah? But if you,
not a legacy. Well, Urban yeah. Meyer was at Utah and he won there. But, you know, no, if you're – and they're actually the Pac-12. Colorado, Colorado State, the Arizona schools, Cal, Stanford, the two Washington schools, USC, UCLA. I think we just hit the Pac-12, by the way. The legacies in the Pac-12 for me, Jeremy, like I'm talking like legacy is John Robinson and USC in the 60s and 70s. Geez, when was the last time UCLA had a great football program? Arizona is not really known for football.
No.
Neither is Arizona State. Washington, like Don James, years ago. Washington State, I mean, there's no team. Oregon is the closest thing in the Pac-12. Oregon, for Chip Kelly and post-Chip Kelly, is the closest thing to a power out West. And even they're not in the annual CFP discussion. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Like if you're rocking the college word and world and you're doing legacies, to me, like what happened at Penn State with Joe Paterno affected legacy. What may be happening at Bo Schembri, maybe it's tied into the Michigan story, but that's not out West. You know, the what's going on now with Schembechler's kid and all the stuff coming out, it might remind you of how you felt when you were first hearing about what happened at Penn State with Joe Paterno. I mean, Schembechler's a legendary figure. He's got a statue outside the stadium, Michigan football. I mean, but that's not out West. And that, I mean, stories like that could rock the foundation of college football if we're talking, you know, sexual abuse and all this stuff that wasn't reported like at Penn State. But I don't get the out West part. I'm not sure I would understand rock college football unless there's some massive drug scandal. Steroids? I don't know.
No, no.
But out West is weird.
There you go.
When's this story coming out?
He said next week or two.
Next week or two. Geez, I wonder what it would be to rock the college football world.
Yeah, you just throw that out there.
It is kind of a... I don't even know the word. I mean, it doesn't seem right to throw something like that out there and let it sit for a couple of weeks and say, oh, we'll get to it eventually. Don't worry about it. Even though it's going to rock the college football world and destroy legacies and change the balance of power out West. That is actually the funny part of the tweet.
Yep.
There is no power out West. The power is in the SEC. Like you, to me, if you rock the college football world, assuming we're not talking an overall scandal of sexual abuse or drug use, steroids, things like that, I'm laughing because, like, is it pay for play? Because nobody believes athletes have been getting paid around college sports for years. That would really rock the – I'm being sarcastic. To me, it's something the heart of college football right now is what? The SEC, maybe the Big Ten, you know, Big 12, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. The college football world is pretty much – I'm going to go Oklahoma, East. And you could probably stop somewhere in the SEC, throw in Clemson. I'm sorry, I don't want to leave Clemson out of this discussion. So that's it. I wish I had the story out because now I'm really curious of what it's going to be.
Well, I guess wait 2 weeks.
I guess I can wait 2 weeks. Hey, I got a question for you. Guess what comes out this afternoon?
Ooh.
Something sports related.
Yeah.
An event this week. And we're going to find out about that event in part this afternoon. Big event.
Oh, the pairings at the U.S. Open.
The pairings are coming out this afternoon.
Is this where you say you hope DeChambeau and Brooke are playing together?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't.
Why? I think it'd be funny.
What
I mean,
would
I don't know. We won't hear anything. It's not like they're mic'd. I just want to see it. I don't know. Maybe one takes a club and bats it over the other guy's head.
Yeah.
You don't think that would happen?
No.
Maybe one guy kind of stomps on the golf ball of one of the other guy when it's in the fairway. Just kind of walks over and mashes it in the ground.
It's a good way to get disqualified.
I just think it would be funny, though.
I'm not trying to be a party pooper.
You are a party pooper.
If the U.S. Open wants to make a mockery of itself, then they'll pair them together.
Oh, you are. You might as well just root for ties and say you don't like the wave.
No, that's Brayton, all right? I'm not that lame. That's Brayton.
No, I know. I understand. I want the best part if it was actually mic'd up and they were, yapping at each other the whole tournament, which I'm sure they wouldn't do.
I just want them to continue to throw shade at each other.
Yeah, I know.
And never actually
play together?
Interact. Unless it's a final round.
Yeah.
Like, let it happen organically.
Oh, so
if it's a real
Sunday. Right.
Whatever. If it's a real rivalry, don't NHL this and make Boston play Toronto in the first round here. That's cheesy, Like,
right.
Let it just happen.
So you want them playing for first place? Like, these guys are competing for the tournament in the final pairing on a Sunday.
Yeah, you can't control that. That happens, then that's earned.
Yeah.
You pair them together, what happens? A giant disappointment? Like, here we go, and then they just play golf.
Could you go on your backswing and lose it, and the club flies into the other guy's face by accident? I don't know. I don't want anybody hurt, though, so that's kind of...
It's one of those things where I just don't know, okay, how does this actually play out? What happens here? They play together. They get mad at each other. We're watching golf where two guys are shouting at each other. Like, that's not what this is supposed to be about. I'm not trying to be Shooter McGavin saying, damn you people, this is golf. trust me, I'm into the rivalry. I think it's fun. It's the most interesting thing about Brooks, for sure, for me.
DeChambeau could play even slower just to tick off.
Well,
Kepka.
You play too slow, you'll get warned. Yeah. You can't play too slow.
You lose a shot, I assume. Or
they can come out and they can ask you to play faster. They can warn you. They can put you on a clock. I love the rivalry. It needs to be a little bit more passive aggressive for maybe a couple months here. If they play together, then that's great.
Yeah.
If they're paired together, it's a sideshow. If Thursday, Friday happen and then go into the weekend on Saturday, they're together on Saturday. Well, then, hey, look at that. They both shot, four under.
Yeah.
And look at this. Even if they're one pairing away from each other, would be good.
I need them in the same pairing.
One pairing away from each other, they would know exactly the results of each other's shots, what's happening. If DeChambeau is in front of him, it might get in Brooks's head because he thinks DeChambeau plays too slow.
You're talking Saturday now?
I'm talking about
at any point in the tournament.
At any point where it happens organically.
Yeah.
Where it's not just a, here you go. Because don't they do pairings in threes also?
Yes.
Who's the third guy?
Oh, I don't care. You could be the
third
guy.
That might matter.
The third guy has the wireless microphone.
The third guy is Rob Ray between Lindy Ruff and Brian Murray. Oh, geez.
Hey, did you see? I know we got to get the break. I don't even remember. There was a tweet the other day about somebody maybe did an interview with Ken Hitchcock, and he talked about how he and Lindy are good friends.
Oh, yeah?
And I thought, I didn't really want to hear that. I kind of tell Lindy to go. You remember the comment after the playoff game, Brian Cole's question?
One. What percentage of your friends have you told to bleep off? 50.
Oh, I actually said it to 70, Brayton. I said it
75.
To Brayton in a segment this morning. I'm not in a segment, in a break. Brayton, verify that. I told Brayton to do that in one of the breaks.
Confirmed.
Wow.
What percentage? Well, I had a good reason for it. He flipped me off. What was your question? What percentage of friends I've said that to?
Yeah.
Bleep off?
What percentage of your friends?
I mean, are you talking seriously or just screwing around saying it?
You might be mad enough to say it.
I've never been mad enough to say that to anybody.
To a friend?
Never. Oh, never. Man. No, I've never said that to a friend.
All right.
No.
I have.
Really?
Yeah. Half kidding, half serious.
Okay,
sometimes.
See, that's different now. Like, I mean, I didn't mean it to Brayton. I mean, I was just screwing around in the break when
and
I yelled at
him. I never mean it to you.
Yeah, but even if you actually mean it, what does it mean?
It's not a good thing.
Well, what does it really mean? It just means like, it's no different than saying buzz off.
Well, I feel like the choice
the
of word makes a stronger
point. You just can't
point.
Say it on the radio. But
no, you definitely can't say it on the radio.
How different is it really?
I feel like it's a level of anger. Hey, Brayton, buzz off. Like, that's annoying. Hey, Brayton, bleep off. Like, you are really, like, get out of my face or else.
Yeah.
I'm throwing a chair at you.
Oh.
Buzz off is just like a little mosquito. Hey, buzz off, mosquito. Bleep off is.
What if you say buzz off, but throw the chair?
See, I don't think you throw the chair for buzz off.
But I'm saying we combine it. Just you didn't swear, but you still threw the chair.
No, because that's not fair. Because he's not expecting the chair throw with buzz off. I don't think you're expecting violence with buzz off.
Something Philip Rivers would do.
Philip, what? Did he throw a chair at somebody?
No.
He always said, like, darn it.
Because he wouldn't curse.
He would get so mad, but he'd be like, darn it. Gosh darn it.
Oh, yeah. Who am I thinking of?
Dang gubbit.
Oh, Roy Williams. Roy Williams would never curse. At North Carolina or even in Kansas, whatever. When he would never curse. He would always say, whatever, gosh darn it or dag nam it or whatever the heck the words are that you make up. Hey, that was fun. I would never say that to you, though, Jeremy, just so you know.
I mean, you could. No, probably times you said, I deserve it.
You said you're a fan of mine. Why would I say that? Oh, yeah. Well, I would do it to you on Twitter. Let's get you a code word, shall we? And we're still hoping to give away $1,000 to a lucky WGR listener. The only way you got a chance at winning the cash is to text the code word in. Be funny if it was buzz. It's sport, S-P-O-R-T. Text sport, 72881. You have till 10 o'clock, text code word in. Please remember, do not text and drive. And also, message and data rates may apply if you're going to play in a long run contest. Sport, S-P-O-R-T, 72881. Good luck. The National Win Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. I was just chuckling a little bit in my head thinking about our next guest, Mark Daniels from WNFL Radio in Green Bay, and whether or not Aaron Rodgers has ever said that term to anybody with the Green Bay Packers. He is without actually saying it. But we'll delve into the latest on the Packers drama when we get back on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Can he really dislike the organization so much that he's going to leave a team that's made it to the NFC Championship game twice in 2 years, you know, retire to go host Jeopardy and repay the Packers $30 million? I just don't buy that. I just don't think he hates them quite that much. Maybe he does. He knows he's, at the end of the day, it's him and it's his choice. And he's made a lot of money and has every right to want to play where he wants to play.
That is Bill Barnwell from ESPN talking Aaron Rodgers, the story that has not gone away. And I don't know. I don't know if I say it took a little twist. Mark Murphy, the CEO, is at some kind of meeting or talking to people over the weekend. I don't know. There's something about he said Rodgers is a complicated fella. And, of course, that created 3 days of Rodgers stories. Mark Daniels is standing by WNFL Radio. Yes, it's WNFL Radio in Green Bay. And he's with us on the Western Hotline. Mark, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Cool call letters. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, good. What are Packers fans thinking? Are they tired of this? Are they looking for every story that comes out? Are they upset? What are they dealing with in Green Bay in terms of emotions right now?
I think they're really upset about this whole thing, that it's come to this. It was, 15 years ago we went through this in a sort of a different way with Brett Favre, and now here we are. They believe, in a lot of ways history kind of repeating itself with a iconic quarterback that is going to most likely have his Packer career end in an unsavory way or unsatisfactory way, at least to the minds of Packer fans. So been there, done that, but they really hate to see it happening again. I think that's just the general feeling. And I would guess most fans are really on the side of management on this. I'd say it's slight, but I would think they're siding with management. I think they're believing that Aaron Rodgers is a bit petulant for their taste right now.
Is there a common denominator between last time and this time other than the threat of the new young quarterback kind of coming in and taking your job? And if so, is there a common denominator for wanting to make that kind of move?
The Packers with Favre, it was a little different. For 3 years, perhaps, he was hinting about, I don't know if I'm coming back. And he wouldn't come around for any of the off-season work. He'd show up in the summer, and away they'd go. And they were fine with that. But then after the 2007 season, NFC Championship game, loss, boy, talk about familiar territory, Favre finally decides to call it a career, and an emotional farewell at Lambeau Field in March of that year. And at that point, the Packers said, all right, Brett, thanks for everything. It's been fantastic. We're going on with Aaron Rodgers. Favre, of course, had the change of heart, came back, wanted to come out of retirement, and the Packers were forced to deal him to the Jets because they'd already committed to Rodgers, much to Brett's chagrin. And when he returned that summer, it was like the second coming. Packer fans were just crazy. They booed Rodgers at practice. It was a family night, but it was a mess. And now here we are 15 years later, and it's a little different. Yes, they drafted a quarterback when they really didn't need one. Had a Hall of Famer going great. They still took Rodgers when he fell to them in 2005. Last year, they traded up to get Jordan Love to kind of protect themselves. Rodgers had been coming off a couple of seasons with cracked collarbones, bum ankles, a couple of iffy years. The McCarthy marriage ended badly. So they wanted to make sure they'd have something just in case. So they went and got Love. And that rankled Rodgers, not so much the pick itself, but the fact that they did not let him know this was coming. And I would give Rodgers that. They probably should have, and I think the Packers have admitted that they didn't handle it very well. But no one in the organization realizes that Love is ready to play football just yet. He is a year or two away at least. And even Rodgers had said itself a year ago or so, as long as I'm around, no one's going to beat me out. And yet he seems to be thinking that Love's future is much more now than down the road, and that's not the case. But there's been a lot of things going on with the front office and personnel moves, letting Jordy Nelson go, believing that Charles Woodson was washed up when he had a couple of decent years, but nothing spectacular with his farewell with the Raiders on his second tour there, and a couple of other guys as well that Rodgers feels would have helped this Packer team, but they've moved on and went in other directions. Yet, with all of that being said, this team has been extremely competitive, obviously, as you mentioned, in the NFC Championship game, 2 years running, perennial playoff team. As long as Rodgers is around, he means that much to the team. But because he means that much and he knows it, I don't think Aaron believes the Packers are giving him enough due or enough appreciation for what he's done for this organization. And it's led to the rift that seems cataclysmic right now.
Mark, refresh my memory. At any point, has Aaron Rodgers said, or his agent, or that, has a message gone to Green Bay that he will never play for the Packers again?
Aaron Rodgers has never said that. It has come through secondary sources, either agents of, friends of. Mm-hmm. Somebody told Adam Schefter about it, and he said through collective reporting, it just happened to come together the night of the draft. And that's when, the hydrogen bomb went off, and it's been, collateral damage ever since.
He doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, but that's no big deal. I don't think that's a big deal. Does that affect?
He doesn't need to practice right now. Are you kidding?
Right. I guess I'm getting to, if they actually did trade Aaron Rodgers, do they think he's showing up at training camp? If he doesn't, at that point, do they do the trigger? Do they wait and see? Would he actually sit out the regular season? Then they trade him. What do the Packers do? How do they call the bluff, I guess? Or what do they react to it with?
They're trying to do everything they can to appease him, probably promise him more, you know, of at least an ear, if not a say, in some moves. They've already offered him a restructured contract that would have put him in the Mahomes neighborhood, guarantee some money over the remaining 3 years of his contract. He's got 21, 22, and 23 left on his deal. They don't need him in town. They love him, but they don't need him around. And they probably don't need him around for the first couple of weeks of camp. And if this thing stretches to late August and we get close to the regular season, the Packers are going to have to make a decision. All right, look, Aaron, are you coming or you're not? If he's not, we've got to get Love, or, heaven forbid, Blake Bortles ready to go. We just can't wait around anymore. Rodgers could sit into the regular season and force the Packers' hand, watch them perhaps struggle, out of the gate, and then come back and be the savior for one more go-round. Or he could just squander this entire year, give up the, 20-odd million he's due in his contract, not to mention the half million he's already let go by the boards for not coming to the offseason. Packers would probably want to get, roster bonus back of $6 million, and it would really get messy then. If they trade him anytime between now and September, October, they're going to probably be spared about $14 million to the cap. But therein lies another problem. Green Bay is so cap-strapped right now. The expected ceiling next year is $208 million. These guys are already $31 million over. They've restructured all kinds of deals just to get under the cap this year to get Aaron Jones back in the fold. They signed Bakhtiari, could not afford Corey Linsley, the all-pro center. We structured deals for Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, and there is no money left. And they are going to be tight because they got Davante Adams coming due. He's probably one of the top receivers in the game. Jair Alexander is a all-pro corner that'll be coming due. They're really going to be financially strapped. And so even just a little wiggle room by unloading Rodgers and getting some cap relief isn't going to be enough. They're going to be in tough shape financially for the next couple of years until the TV contract, that ridiculous billions and billions that are going to be pouring in, start arriving in 2023. So it is a really dicey time for the organization.
Mark, last thing I want to ask you. When Jeremy and I were talking about this recently, he brought up this, and I think it's an interesting question. Is it any different if there's an owner? There's no owner in Green Bay. There's no one individual that maybe could soothe hard feelings, bring everybody together, heart-to-heart with Aaron Rodgers. Does that make any difference here? Would it make any difference?
No, I mean, they don't have a de facto owner, but they have a president who was, elected and hired by the board of directors and the shareholders and all of that. And it's Mark Murphy. And quite honestly, he has got to become a bit more forceful in this some way or somehow and smooth this thing over and find a way. And Murphy last week said the less said publicly, the better. 2 days later, he requotes Ted Thompson's line about Rodgers, saying he's a complicated fella and everybody's going crazy again. He's just got to shut up, find a way to get this thing resolved. If they can't, well, then let's just make the deal, move on. Aaron, it's been great. It's been, 13 years, fantastic run. If he is that adamant about getting out of here, then they should let him get out of here and press on with whoever is their quarterback, if it's Love this year or not, and let's just move on with this thing.
Mark, thanks. Not a problem finding things to talk about on Green Bay Radio these days. Thanks for coming on with us.
No, that's for sure. All right, see you guys.
Mark Daniels, WNFL Radio in Green Bay, with us on the Wester Hotline.
A little bit of news. Jamie Vardy. You know who Jamie Vardy is?
No.
Jamie Vardy plays for Leicester. He's a international footballer.
Uh-huh.
He has become co-owner of the Rochester Rhinos.
Huh. No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Got a picture with a rhino scarf.
Very good.
So I don't know what that means, but there you go, Jamie Vardy.
Little soccer ownership action. We'll get to Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. We will have instigators for you at the top of the hour on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Let's see. There's a couple things I want to throw your way. NBA. Yes, the NBA. Apparently, they are. There might be a rule change coming to a National Basketball Association near you to restrict the unnatural motions surrounding jump shots that players are using to draw fouls. So, you know, going up in the air, maybe sticking your leg out, moving sideways, falling, doing all this stuff just to get contact and go to the free throw line. Apparently, the league wants to do something about it. So, could vote to eliminate. They're going to actually try and just get it out of the game. They're showing video to everybody. The competition committee is talking about it. And they want to get that stuff out of the game where guys are drawing fouls that way. So you could have a rule change coming up for that for next season.
This is not where you pump fake and then jump into the guy, right?
I kind of feel like that is one of the things they would be well, here, I'll read it to you, okay?
Yep.
The league wants to limit the ability of players to lean backward and sideways, for example, to initiate contact and get to the free throw line. It's just all it says is unnatural motion surrounding jump shots. Now, pump fake is natural, but a pump fake and leaning into the guy, is that considered natural?
They're talking about something else.
Like and you go up and you stick your leg out on a jump shot?
Yeah, you shoot and then you lean to make contact one way after the ball's out. That's different.
What about, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, some guys go up for a jump shot and they extend one of their legs out front in front of them, and if the defender hits the leg, they whistle them for a foul?
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about.
Right. That's the unnatural maneuver. Anyway.
I'd like to see the one with the pump fake eliminated.
And lean in?
100%. Should never be.
Right, because you're leaning in.
You get the guy up in the air,
and where's he going to go?
You are not even attempting to score.
Right. You're just going
into
his chest.
Jumping into the player because they'll give you two or three shots for it. I'd like to see that. That's an offensive foul now.
Yeah.
At discretion. Like, you weren't actually trying to shoot it. You did it just to draw the contact.
You think that would be in this discussion, right? Because you're not – all you're doing is getting the guy in the air, and then you know gravity is going to bring him down into
you. 2-minute warning. Right. In reality, if you get a guy in the air like that, you can take a step left or right and get your shot off.
Right.
But you don't want the shot.
Right.
You want the foul. I just think that's the kind of thing that you can get out of there.
They said there's a growing belief many of the maneuvers the players are using are contributing to a game where the advantage is slanting, wait for it, too much toward the offense. It's not often you hear a league say we're slanting things too much to the offense.
The NBA saying that?
Yeah. How about that? What else? Oh, speaking of rules, Major League Baseball probably today will announce its rules for the whole foreign substances thing.
Yeah.
Players could be suspended.
10 games for
10
the sticky
tech? 10 days. 10 days if they're caught. Now, this is not just pitchers. Say your shortstop has a substance and somehow he's able to transfer it to the pitcher, then the shortstop is suspended for 10 days. Hmm. Anybody found with this, they're going to do like checks during the game.
Last minute of play in the show.
So you might, maybe during a TV break, but you will see an umpire stop the pitcher on his way from the dugout to the mound and check his hands for foreign substances. They're going to do this like supposedly 8 to 10 times a game randomly.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
What a way to
make sure you stop. Make sure you stop the games to do it.
Well, they're hoping to do it in between innings, in the commercial breaks. But sure, you're stopping the pitcher. You're holding up his warm-up pitches.
You know there's going to be a manager that's going to be in the middle of an inning, just be like, hey, Hey,
check his fingers.
Check the ball.
Well, they could, in theory. They could challenge it
if they're going to
do it randomly, but I mean, umpires can challenge. The umpires could stop the game.
Right.
It isn't just during. If they wanted to, I think they could stop live action and go look at something, I think.
Woof.
Yeah,
no
right?
thanks.
Yeah, right. All right, on woof note, we will step aside. Instigators are next. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll be back tomorrow morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.